Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas says his government has passed its initial test in the first year of office. The Public Affairs Party has objected to the finance minister's draft budget proposal for 2012. And the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes suggests that a majority of MPs will vote to withdraw immunity from leading public affairs member Vít Bárta. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says his government has passed its initial test in the first year of office. Writing in the Daily Lidové Noviny a few days prior to its first anniversary, the Prime Minister says that in spite of much squabbling, the government has succeeded in pushing all of its plans through Parliament. The cabinet, he says, has worked hard and has been able to arrive at reasonable compromises, implementing responsible budget policies on the way while not fearing temporary drops in popularity. The Civic Democrat chairman went on to describe free health care and the vision of a welfare state that looks after everyone as, quote, crumbling icons, evinced by the economic situation in Greece. The centre-right tri-party government came to power after general elections in May of 2010 and enjoys a comfortable majority of 118 deputies in the 200-member lower house. Its popularity, however, has fallen to a mere 20%, and it has been rocked by a series of scandals and internal disputes. The Junior Coalition Party, Public Affairs, has objected to next year's draft budget submitted by Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek. The party's economic expert, Michal Babak, told the Czech press agency that the party was surprised that the information submitted at a meeting of economic ministers last night, quote, changes everything in the government's coalition agreement. Public Affairs Chairman Radek Jón said that the budget versions he saw were disastrous and that he rejects VAT being raised to more than the coalition had agreed upon. Public Affairs tabled its budget demands during coalition negotiations on the future of the government. However, the other parties rejected the inclusion of the budget in the new coalition agreement. A survey of MPs conducted by the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reports that 116 will vote to withdraw immunity from Public Affairs MP Vít Bárta. Police have requested that the de facto leader of the Junior Coalition Party be given up for investigation on suspicion of corruption. The report suggests that the lower house will apparently grant that request. Top 09 members agreed earlier to vote in unison against Mr. Bárta, and a large majority of left-wing MPs have followed suit. Mr. Bárta was forced to leave his cabinet post as transport minister earlier this year when he was accused by two former party colleagues of paying them large sums of money for their loyalty and silence on party finance issues. Now turning briefly to the weather, Thursday's weather forecast calls for more hard storms in Moravia. Elsewhere, conditions are expected to be cloudy to mostly cloudy and cool, with temperatures of around 20 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Sarah Barufka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech state may have to pay billions of crowns to Slovak pensioners. In Prague, the French National Day is celebrated with a food market on Prague's Kampa Island. And in Panorama, we hear about churches, folk instruments, and an almond orchard in Moravia. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. As the coalition government moves to push a badly needed overhaul of the pension system through the lower house, fresh clouds have appeared on the horizon. It has emerged that the Czech Republic may have to pay Slovak pensioners who worked in Czech firms during the 73 years of a common state financial contributions to the tune of billions of crowns. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Amicable as it was, the 1993 velvet divorce between Czechs and Slovaks left some loose ends, and one of the longer-term repercussions has now come to the fore. 18 years after the breakup, the average pension in the Czech Republic is 10,500 crowns per month. In Slovakia, which adopted the euro in 2009, it is the equivalent of 8,800. Czechs who spent years working for Slovak companies would thus have lost out by getting lower pensions, and on the grounds of a constitutional court ruling, the Czech state has been making up for the difference. Now Slovaks who worked for Czech firms have jumped on the bandwagon and claimed that they too should be eligible for higher pensions. The Daily Lidové noviny, which highlighted the gravity of the problem on Wednesday, claims that the Czech state could end up paying Slovak pensioners billions of crowns in compensation. Reacting to the report, Prime Minister Petr Nečas admitted that this was a serious problem.
Ta věc je dlouhodobá, je velmi vážná a čistě hypoteticky v katastrofické variantě.
This is an ongoing problem. It is extremely serious and hypothetically speaking, in a worst case scenario, the Czech Republic stands to lose billions to tens of billions of crowns.
V hodnotách miliard nebo dokonce desítek miliard korun.
The question who is eligible for compensation has sparked a complicated legal dispute between Czech courts. When a Prague court acted on a precedent set by the Constitutional Court in the case of Czech pensioner Maria Lantová, the Supreme Administrative Court overturned its ruling and the claimant took her case to a European Court of Law. The European Court promptly alerted the Czech authorities to the fact that if they wanted to compensate their own citizens, it would be discriminatory not to compensate citizens of other EU member states who had worked for Czech firms and were getting lower pensions in their home countries. This development could spark an avalanche of requests. The Slovak Ministry of Social Affairs says it gets dozens of telephone calls a day for advice on how to file compensation claims in the Czech Republic, and a Bulgarian citizen has already taken his case to court. Should this scenario materialize, it could mean an extra burden of billions of crowns annually, depending mainly on the future level of Czech and Slovak pensions and the exchange rate of the crown to the euro. At this point, it is not clear how many Slovak and other foreign pensioners could be eligible for the pension boost. Czech judges and legal experts are at loggerheads over who should receive compensation. Judge Jaroslav Vlašín from the Supreme Administrative Court says every Slovak pensioner who retired after the breakup in 1993 and who worked for a Czech firm for at least 25 years should be eligible, while the chairman of the Constitutional Court, Pavel Rychetský, claims that only Slovaks permanently residing on Czech territory should get compensated. Some lawyers argue that the Czech government should reject the claims out of hand since it is legally on strong ground. And there is, of course, also the possibility of scrapping compensation money paid to Czechs, which would spark fresh lawsuits. At present, the government is studying the legal implications and considering its options.
Thanks for that, Danny. And now we move from the dreary realm of finances to something a bit more enjoyable. For the third year in a row now, the French Bastille Day on July 14th is celebrated with an open-air food market on Prague's Kampa Island. The stalls offer a wide variety of French wines, cheeses, meats, and other delicacies to an increasingly interested Czech public. Jan Richter went to check out the marché and has this report.
A small square on Prague's Kampa Island turned on Thursday into a French marché, or market, which for 2 days offers passers-by a taste of some of France's most famed products, such as wines from Champagne, Languedoc and other regions, pâtés and terrines, as well as all kinds of meats and cheeses. The market, first held in 2009 to mark the handover of the EU presidency from France to the Czech Republic, has since become a regular part of the 14th of July celebrations. The French ambassador to Prague, Pierre Lévy, opened the market on Thursday morning.
It's a special day today, as you know, it's the 14th of July, and so we believe it was extremely pleasant on one side to have an official event at the embassy with the official guests, members of the government, and also something which is very popular, very French, I would say, which is a French market, which is not only a way to buy your food, and but also it's a way of life to share this very unique French atmosphere in this amazing place, beautiful place, which is Campa, just in front of the Charles Bridge.
Among the stalls, I caught up with some of the visitors savoring French specialties. This lady really enjoyed her marmalade.
Marmeládu.
Chutnala vám?
Výborná byla.
While another woman said she loved the terrine of wild boar and juniper, that she would be unlikely to buy in the regular shop because she could not imagine what it tastes like.
Kanec a jelovec, protože k tomu se tak normálně nedostanu.
The idea to set up a French food market against the historic backdrop of Campa Island came from Thomas Button, who runs an events firm and also imports wine and meat products from his native region of Corrèze.
Honestly, the beginning of this importation was at the beginning some pleasure because I couldn't find some product I wanted to over Prague. So I started to import them, then I started to import and give it to some other friend and some other friend, other friend. And this is how it started to be a company, basically.
Mr. Button says Czechs have increasingly come to appreciate quality foods after years of paying much more attention to price tags.
I can see that a lot of lahutki are opening and they are proposing like much more fine food from Italy, from Spain, but also from France and some other region. And my opinion is like if you look on some especially stores recently opened like 1 or 2 years ago, people really go there, enjoy quality products, enjoy basically nice wine, nice cheese, and I would say Czech people are getting a bit more interested somehow in, from my experience, but get more interested in nice food.
Another stall, run by Dominic Collin, offers wines, terrines and sausages. His company started importing these products directly from French producers to restaurants and wine bars in Prague. Mr. Collin first explained to me the difference between a pâté and terrine.
The pâté is, let's say, will be mash meat, like a mousse at the end. Like a terrine is really a piece of meat cooked then together, so it's a bit more crusty.
How is the competition with Moravian wines?
Well, actually, I was surprised, but with French wine, we're doing quite well. First, because before, the price were very, very expensive in Prague for French wines, which is kind of nonsense. And now, like I said, I have a wine for 150, a Cabernet Sauvignon, for instance, which is cheaper than most Moravian wines when we speak about quality wines. So at the beginning, people were surprised, quite reluctant to buy French wines even. They said it's too cheap to be good. Then they tried, and now they prefer it. So we're quite quiet with a competition from Moravian wines because they are very expensive, actually, at the end.
The French food market on Campa Island runs until 10 p.m. on Friday. For more information, go to france.cz.
Thanks for that, Jan. And now, in this week's panorama, Daniela Lazarova tells you all about a very special church in Hradec Králové, a musician who produces folk instruments in South Bohemia, and an almond orchard in Moravia.
Carpathian wooden churches in Europe are valued architectural monuments that are on the UNESCO World Heritage Site. Built between the 16th and 18th centuries without any metal parts such as nails, they are testimony to the ingeniousness of our predecessors. Not only are they in good condition, but some of them have proved to be highly mobile. One such three-part house of prayer was built by the Ruthenian community in the Slovak town of Habura back in 1500. It served several generations, but in 1740 a stone church was built in the village and the wooden house of prayer was sold to the town of Mala Polana, where in time it suffered the same fate. In 1935, the mayor of Hradec Králové in North Bohemia recognized its value and bought the church. With its rare wall paintings and wood carvings, it attracted believers and visitors from near and far. The town of Habura later realized its mistake in selling such a treasure and tried to get it back, but Hradec was not prepared to give it up. The lengthy dispute has now been resolved in an unexpected manner. Since it couldn't retrieve the original, Habura decided to build a perfect replica of its old wooden church, which Hradec was happy to assist with. After acquiring detailed measurements and studying the building technology used, Slovak carpenters produced an identical copy. Except for the marks of time on the original, the two buildings are indistinguishable. The copy was built thanks to two influential citizens, a successful financier and a former Czechoslovak government minister. The latter says he was glad he could contribute to the endeavor.
It
really was very fulfilling and a joy to be able to help, because when you think about it, how many churches does one help build in a lifetime?
Although inside the church is still fairly bare, the town's Orthodox believers are already flocking to it. The local Orthodox priest, Milan Augustine, says the church has already proved to be a big gift in bringing the religious community together.
It is truly admirable that local carpenters were able to produce a perfect copy of the old church. I am confident that this one is here to stay, and it may be that the construction of a replica will be of use to Hradec in maintaining the original.
Pro Hradec to bude motivace, jak se lépe o tento originál postarat.
The Carpathian wooden church in Habura is not the only one that travelled far from its original site. In all, six such churches were moved from Slovakia to the Czech Republic in the years before the Second World War. The sound of a bagpipe is typical for South Bohemia, where it has been at home for over six centuries. The South Bohemian town of Strakonice has hosted international bagpipe festivals since 1967, and around the region there are many folk artists who make not just bagpipes, but other traditional folk instruments. Miloslav Stechner is a music teacher from České Budějovice, who learned the art of making folk music instruments from an old master.
Když jsem začínal, tak ty nástroje nebyly. Tak já jsem se rozhodl, že si ty dudy vyrobím.
When I started teaching, many folk music instruments were simply not available on the market, not just the kind of bagpipe I wanted, but historical instruments that were no longer used, of which there were only a few pieces left gathering dust in people's attics. So I found this old man who made musical instruments, a Mr. Janeček, and I visited him regularly for 2 years until he'd taught me all he knew.
Today, Miloslav Stechner has a workshop in his attic where he makes bagpipes and instruments which most people have never even heard of. The work involves wood carving, work with metal, leather and other materials such as horse tails. Mr. Schlechter proudly displays a Vozemboch of his own making, a long-forgotten folk instrument, the name of which literally translates as bang it on the floor.
Co se doma najde? Hřbet na pečení.
This here instrument is made from whatever you find at home. The idea is for it to make a lot of different noises. So I used an old tin baking form, a homemade drum, and cymbals you can make yourself from a metal plate.
The Vozemboch is not for sweet music. It was used by pub musicians as an accompaniment to the harmonica or during processions to make a lot of noise. Another folk music instrument in Mr. Stechner's collection is the so-called fanfarnoch, an untranslatable, funny-sounding name for an instrument made from an old jug, a bit of leather to cover the opening, and a horse tail which is tied and inserted through a hole in the leather to create an unmistakable sound.
Tak ho musíme vyzkoušet. Fanfar, fanfar, fanfarnoch, ho, ho, halleluja.
The fanfarnoch was an instrument used by carolers, but Miloslav Stechner has tried it in classical music. He has played his bagpipe both with a classic music ensemble and at a rock concert, but his biggest audience is always at the Strakonice Bagpipe Music Festival, where he is a regular performer. Travelling eastward, the town of Hustopeche in Moravia prides itself on something unique in the Central European region, an almond orchard. It was established in 1949 by the firm Zora Olomouc, a chocolate and candy company, which gradually expanded it in the 50s and 60s. At one time, it boasted 35,000 trees, and the entire harvest was used for the firm's production. However, in the 90s, the firm Nestle took over and started importing almonds from abroad. The orchard remained in its ownership, but was no longer properly maintained. Seeing it deteriorate, the town hall decided to buy it and develop it into a tourist attraction. After 5 years of negotiations, a deal was finally signed, and Hustopeche Mayor Luboš Kuchinka says he has big plans for the orchard.
Na příští rok plánujeme slavnosti mandloní, kde budeme prezentovat výrobky.
We're planning to have an almond festival here next year, at which we want to give people a taste of our almonds as well as products made from them. The orchard will only have around 800 trees, but it is still an unusual and impressive sight in this part of the world, and we want the public to see almonds ripening in Central Europe. Of course, the orchard will remain open to the public all year round, and people will be free to wander around, pick some almonds, and enjoy the place.
The town of Hustopeche is planning to make almonds its trademark and is striving for an EU grant which would turn the orchard into a recreational park with an almond tree path and a lookout tower over the premises and nearby town.
This week's edition of Panorama brought to you by Daniela Lazarova. And now we're rounding off our regular weekday program with Sound Czech, our popular Czech language learning series, brought to you this time by Rosie Johnston.
Hello and welcome to this Sound Check, which has something of a motoring theme to it. Today we're listening to vintage Czech rockers Olympic, and more specifically their song Když ti svítí zelená, in English, When You Get the Green Light. The title of the song is, as you might have guessed, also the phrase to listen out for. So here it is at the end of the first verse, Jeď, když ti svítí zelená.
Jeď, když ti svítí zelená. Teď už je pozdě vystoupit.
The road back is already gone, sings the singer, so jeď, když ti svítí zelená. Go when you get the green light, or go when the light turns green. Go when you get the green light is possibly better because literally the phrase translates into English as go when for you the green light shines. The green light has the same figurative meaning in Czech as it does in English. In other words, it's a synonym for the go-ahead. So, if you dáš někomu zelenou, that means you give them the green light. And you might hear a Czech say máš zelenou, meaning you've got the green light or you've got the go-ahead. Here's another blast of Highway Code Adherence Olympic. And now onto a particular Czechism, the concept of a zelená vlna, or green wave. Zelená vlna is actually the name of the traffic news bulletins here on Czech radio, and is an idea I'd never heard of before coming to this country. A zelená vlna, or green wave, is the phenomenon of one traffic light turning green after another, just as you approach it, guaranteeing plain sailing, or plain cruising, around about a town. Apparently, if you drive at the recommended speed limit in a given area, Czech traffic lights are programmed so they should experience a zelená vlna.
Cesta
And finally, here are some other green-tinged idioms that you might stumble across in the Czech Republic. Regular listeners of Soundcheck might remember that the word for a newbie or greenhorn is, in Czech, a zelenáč, translating literally as a green person, I suppose. If you've been in the army too long and you've developed a rather militaristic way of thinking, you could be dubbed in Czech a zelený mozek or a green brain. And for those interested in Czech religious tradition, Maundy Thursday in this country is actually called zelený čtvrtek or green Thursday. Apparently Czechs are supposed to eat green things in particular on the day preceding Good Friday. So there you have it. I hope that you get the green light to use some of these phrases one of these days soon. But for now, it's nashledanou from me. Když se jednou rozhodnutíš je, teď už nastal se rozlíže, se ta zpětně už pořená, teď když ti svíjí zelená.
Rosie Johnstone with Soundcheck there, wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.